Welcome to the Attractive Man Podcast, where we help men become better men. I'm your host, Matt Artisan.
Look, if you want to spark a connection with a high-value woman, there are 7 secrets that you need to know.
That's right. And secret number 1 is creating romantic tension. See, what most guys do is they approach a woman and they have this very soft, sweet, supplicating, overly apologetic, overly accommodating energy. It's like this just really nice, friendly, pleasing energy, kind of like a waiter at a restaurant. Like, hey, is there anything I can do for you? Like, don't be afraid of letting me know if there's anything you need. That type of platonic energy. And of course, it typically puts them into the friend zone.
And this happens so often, and I totally understandable why, right? You come up to a stranger, you want to make sure that you're not offensive, you want to make sure that you're not creeping her out, but there's a line that guys cross. And so one thing I want to make sure that our viewers are getting is that we're not saying to not be kind. We're saying that don't put yourself in the subservient, submissive. You're going out of your way to make sure that you're not coming off a certain way. You want to be kind of neutral, right? You don't know what she's like. There's nothing you need to do to impress her. But if you go overboard with that super, hi, you're great, you're pretty, I like you already, that is definitely going to put you in friend zone.
Lynn, I know you teach guys how to do this the right way when they're at bars and clubs, through cheersing. Can you talk a little bit about that?
A few months ago, maybe it was more than that, I was teaching a boot camp and we were at a popular lounge / club venue. And one of the perks of being a female dating coach is a lot of people assume that I'm not a dating coach. And so I can eavesdrop and hear a lot of what the women are saying about the guys approaching them once the guys leave. I'm standing behind 2 girls. I see a guy come up to these 2 girls, look them up and down, and very confidently, very masculinely, just take his drink up and cheers them each. And after he left, the girls looked at each other almost, you know, at the same time, and they were saying to each other, oh my gosh, that was so hot. And they ran after him. I loved it so much. And I remember telling my students the same story. And the next time that we went out, one of the guys was very new and he was trying it out. And he went to a pair of girls. You would say he was objectively better looking, but he did the whole cheers thing. But he came at them, he was really nervous. He looked them up and down like in a very, almost like it was an unnatural way. His hand was just going cheers, and then he continued looking at his drink, looked down, and then went away. And the different set of girls looked at him, looked at each other like, wow, that was weird. And so there's a ton of differences. Why did it work when the first guy did it? And why did it not work when the new student did it? Well, the first guy was completely comfortable owning that tension. He was comfortable showing his attraction. He wasn't trying to get anything out of the situation, so he wasn't coming off as needy. And he created that tension that's so important.
Yeah, another example of that is I was walking down the street. I see this pretty girl coming towards me, but I couldn't tell like how cute she was yet. So I just stopped her and I started asking her for directions so I could get a better look at her. I said, hey, excuse me, do you know where? And then I just paused and I just looked at her and I just took her in and just for a couple seconds, just kind of enjoyed her beauty. And there was like 4 or 5 seconds of just silence where we're just kind of like soul gazing, like smiling at each other. It's like, hey, do you know where? And I said, wow, you are gorgeous. And she could just feel all that buildup, all that tension building up. She just started giggling and it just like, she just released that tension by, you know, giggling and laughing. And then she was like, oh yeah, thank you so much. Sorry, do you need help with something? I was like, no, I don't remember what I was looking for. I just want to get to know you. She was like, oh my gosh. And then we went on an instant date together. But the key is just to have those moments of silence where you're just looking at her and she can feel your interest or intention. And as long as you're not doing it in a creepy way, because definitely looking a girl up and down in a creepy way is totally going to creep her out, versus a way where you're just owning your attraction to her completely turns a woman on. Which brings us to the second secret for creating that instant chemistry or spark with a woman, which is attracting her through feeling, not logic.
So true. Guys become obsessed trying to figure out what to say. I've even had students and even dates actually memorize lines, memorize questions. We have a new student, his name is Daryl, and he was noticing that one of his weaknesses or one of the things that he wants to work on is being present. And so I had him do a homework assignment where he wrote out the root cause and what he could do about it. So he came up with things like have better eye contact, stand squarely directly in front of her, and a bunch of other things, which of course is going to have him get more in his head and much less present. And now he's relying further on logic to create an attraction, which will never work. One of my mentors had this line. My mentor had a line that I share all the time, which is you are never going to attract her using logic. You're always going to have to attract her using feelings. And it's so true.
Yes, 100%. She needs to feel your intentions. She needs to feel your emotions in a sense, right? So for example, if you walk up to her and you say, hey, you're really pretty, with very little emotion there, she's going to have a very unemotional response like, oh, thanks. You know, I'm not necessarily going to feel any attraction to you. But if you, just like we said in the first point, like actually take a moment to look at her and feel your attraction towards her, and then you say it where you really feel it, you really mean it, you tell her, wow, you are absolutely stunning. I had to meet you. Then she's, instead of her going, oh, okay, thanks, whatever, she's going to be like, oh my gosh, wow, thank you. Because she felt the intensity of your emotions.
And it's not about being an overactor or like, you know, pretending to go overboard with emotions. You're not going out of your way to have these explosive being, you know, animated. It's really getting in tune with how things are affecting you. How is it, what is it causing inside of your body? Because a lot of guys that when they first come in with us, they're very either disassociated, meaning they're just logically, they're always in their cognitive minds. They're always thinking of what do I need to say? Or what's the equation? How do I figure this out? And they get so frustrated, right? Because they might see someone that is less good looking than them, less tall, less everything that you would stereotypically think. A lot of guys think that they would need. The guys that are in their emotions, the guys that are in their feelings, every single time do much better. But the guys that are either disassociated or they are in that people Yeah, that's what it feels like. Or when they're in their people-pleasing mode that we talked about in the first point, then a woman is not going to feel those genuine, authentic feelings, and she's just going to make an excuse or put you in friend zone.
Yeah, it's really about being honest and truthful and not trying to like stuff down how you feel. You know, most guys think I can't let her know I'm attracted to her. Like that might creep her out or that's not appropriate. And so they basically hide how they feel towards her. And then she almost feels like the guy isn't being honest. And the thing that happens when you just own how you feel, like for example, you meet a beautiful woman and you're slightly turned on by her, right? She's gorgeous and you're just allowing yourself to be turned on, not in a creepy way, but in a very safe way that she enjoys. There's a principle called emotional contagion, which basically means emotions are somewhat contagious. So if she feels like you're being turned on by her, she will start being turned on because she feels your turn on. So you guys both can be turned on together. And the cool thing about that is it doesn't matter what you say for the most part when you're doing that right. Like you could literally walk up to her and say, I have no idea what to say. And that can even turn her on. Back in our live boot camps, we have an exercise where the guy just says the word hi to the beautiful model in front of her. And the exercise is to turn her on just by saying the word hi.
Let's go to number three, which is removing the shame and being comfortable in your skin. So there are two students that come to mind when talking about this point about being comfortable in your skin and letting go of the shame. Adam and Sandeep. And Adam is an objectively good-looking man. The models all go crazy over him. I think he even has a six-pack, takes really good care of himself. But for different reasons, he feels very uncomfortable in his skin, to the point of when he talks to women, you can just see him shifting in his skin. He's not holding himself well. And like that emotional contagion point that you made earlier, Matt, women feel that. So they look at him and they don't see the good looks. They don't see how hard he works in his body. They just know that they feel uncomfortable talking to him, which is so sad and happens way more often than people realize. And then we also have Sandeep, who genuinely thinks of himself as unattractive. And so he's always in his head. He always, when a woman responds to him favorably, he's thinking, you know, why is she talking to me this way? What's the catch? There's nothing attractive about me. And he carries himself, you know, just hunched over, doesn't really look at them them in the eyes with attraction, just always has this look of what's going on here, almost like the skepticism.
Yeah, almost a skeptical look.
Yeah. That's exactly it. And a lot of guys do carry that either level of discomfort, or there's some shame in them. There's some shame for them to walk up to a woman and tell her that she's beautiful. We even have some guys, when they first come to us, they have this preconceived notion that you shouldn't compliment a woman on her looks. They're worried it's wrong, creepy, they're going to go to jail, she's going to freak out. And so you can imagine that interacting with women, when you come with these mindsets, is going to feel very limiting, really going to impact the way that women look at you.
Yeah, she's going to feel that emotional state, just like we said in the last point, and it's going to turn her off. Whereas on the flip side, when a guy just owns his attraction to her, like we said before, and he dresses the part, like he just looks like he's a man of high value, and he, more importantly than just looking the part, he knows his worth, he knows his value, he's going to walk with that air of confidence, and he's going to expect her to be attracted to him. And if she's not, it's no skin off his back. He's just like, okay, she's not into it, somebody else will be. But it's that expecting her to be attracted to him versus the opposite, which Lynn just talked about. When you expect it, you start seeing women attracted to you all the time. It's literally the definition of confidence, is believing in your abilities. In this case, self-confidence is believing in your own self-worth. You know women would be attracted to you. And it's not just attracted to you based on looks. It's just, again, knowing your value, knowing what you bring to the table, knowing that you're a catch. When you truly believe that, when you truly see yourself as a prize, then women feel that, and women get turned on very quickly. They can feel that energy almost instantly.
That's so true. You know, it comes to mind Tommy, a student that we had who was probably 100 pounds overweight. And it's something that he's working on, but he's also very comfortable with his body. And so objectively, he's not as in shape as someone that, you know, might be considered good looking, but he just walks the street like he owns every step. And whenever we go to the clubs and to pubs, women and guys too are always approaching him. He always gets confused for owning the place because he has, and it's not a arrogant or a cocky way. He just has he's so comfortable in his skin.
And here's an exercise that you can do really right away. It might sound a little strange at first, but guys that do this, it really helps them let go of especially shame around body image and help them feel more confident of their appearance. Go to a bathroom, shut the door, and take off all your clothes. Look in the mirror and take a second to just appreciate the way you look. Now, of course, there's certain things you might be able to work on that you can change, like building muscle or removing fat. And definitely take action on those things. Do those things that are gonna make you look better. At the same time, there's certain things you can't change, of course, and just appreciate those. Even if right now you may not think those are advantages when it comes to attracting women, but if there's nothing you can do to change it, then all you can do is learn to love it. And when you really love every part of yourself, knowing that yes, you're not perfect and you're still working on yourself, but when you truly love yourself, flaws and all, women start to really pick up on that air of confidence that you have. And they see that you really have a high level of self-worth. And that's what really attracts women.
The next secret is first thought, best thought. And what that means is you're opening your mind. You're not overly filtering what it is that you're saying. You just feel comfortable and free to share with whomever it is that you're speaking to what it is that you're thinking, feeling, or even your intentions.
Yeah, the problem is a lot of guys will say, I don't know what to say, or I run out of things to say. And usually they don't have that problem with friends that they're close to or family members. It's that they just have really high standards of what's acceptable to say to a beautiful woman. They want to say something really cool or impressive, but then that limits them to like get in their head and try to figure something out, you know, to impress her. Instead, when you just remove that filter and you just lower that threshold of what's acceptable and just say whatever, doesn't always have to be great, then you never run out of things to say. And it also helps remove that pleasing energy.
The thing with this point is that it's actually way more than just knowing what to say. If you truly embody first thought, best thought, you would really feel free to not only say, but do what feels natural to you. You wouldn't come off so mechanical or robotic or confined in your skin. There's a quick little story that happened in the last bootcamp. One of our students, Sean, he was so worried about coming off cool and not looking foolish that when we do our social freedom exercises, which are exercises that we do in the beginning of a boot camp, to embrace that fear of looking like fools and to just do crazy things like yell things out in the middle of a crowd or do jumping jacks when everyone's staring. When you do those, they actually help you become way lighter and way more present, way free in your body. But Sean refused to do them. And for the rest of the day, he was so in his head about what people were saying and how people were looking at him that he came off actually not nearly as cool as the guys were okay with people looking at them and judging them and saying whatever that they wanted to say. Because I'm going to do what the first thing I want to do is and not be so overly concerned with how it comes across. The great thing about Sean, though, is that he was super open and he was super coachable. So even though day one was a little rocky, day two, he really took our lessons and our teachings and really embraced it. So he completely lived out first thought, best thought on day two. And there was even a girl that he approached, and instead of being in his head, instead of waiting for the perfect line to say, he just went up to her. He started a conversation. They ended up talking about where they went to school. She told him that she went to BYU. And he said, oh no, you're not one of those Mormons, are you? In a very cute, playful, silly way, not in a way that, you know, he was actually making a judgment on her. And they had a fantastic conversation. He never would have been able to have that kind of connection and that kind of chemistry that he built if he wasn't doing first thought, best thought, and if he was so worried about what he was going to say and how she was going to take it.
Yeah, the key was that he didn't plan what he was going to say. He didn't have anything rehearsed. Back when I first started working on this part of my life, I would try to find every pickup line or routine in the book and try to memorize them all to try to make myself look cool. Like, check out how witty I am and funny I am and all these teasing lines. First, it kind of worked. You know, I was saying kind of like cool things and, you know, I get some reactions, but I started getting really in my head trying to remember all these things. It was like almost having a file cabinet just full of so many files. I couldn't access them quick enough. And just women could tell, and it was like breaking the connection between us. And they could also, I assume, could tell I was just being fake. I wasn't being real. I was basically had this energy of trying to impress them, which turns out had the opposite effect. And when I realized I had this problem, I said, okay, I'm gonna drop all the lines and all the routines, and I'm just gonna walk up to women with an empty mind. And at first that was kind of terrifying, like just walking up to her and being like, so
I don't know what to say.
But when I just owned it, the fact that I didn't know what to say, I just walked up to them and I was like, you know what? I have no idea what to say. I thought I would come up with something good by the time I approached you girls, but here I am. And I just owned the fact that my mind went blank. I actually got good reactions, and it helped me learn to really trust myself. That like, yeah, I might not know what to say, but I'm gonna say something. And even if it's not that good, so what? I can still own it. And even saying something not that great or not knowing what to say at all can still be attractive.
And speaking of being attractive, that leads us to secret number 5, being proactive versus being reactive.
Yeah, the problem is that guys don't know what to do when it comes to making a move. So they become reactive in the sense that they're waiting for a signal or a grand gesture from the girl to go either approach, or if they're already in an interaction with her, maybe even a date, they're just waiting for some sort of signal to make a move on her, go for the kiss or whatever the case may be.
And I find that it's also guys that don't know what to do and also guys that are just afraid of making moves, that they're afraid that she might get turned off by his moves or she's not going to reciprocate and reject them. So they just end up playing it really safe and just giving her the lead, giving her the reins. So that way it's going to be more guaranteed when they do make that move.
And of course, a guy that's playing it overly safe, it's not going to be attractive. That's not masculine. That's not confident. And that shows her that he cares way too much about getting it right.
Yep.
And about, you know, winning her over, you know, that's going to make her lose attraction.
Absolutely. And you know, you hear too all the time that women are always complaining that guys don't make moves fast enough.
Yeah, that's actually the biggest complaint I hear from women when it comes to men. that they don't make the move, whether it's the first approach, the initial interaction, or if they are in an interaction together, that he doesn't take it further, he doesn't go for the number, or he doesn't text her, or he doesn't ask for the date, or on the date he doesn't make a move. I can't even imagine how frustrating that must be for a woman to be attracted to a guy and wanting him to make moves on you, and then he doesn't do it.
Yeah, and this actually also applies to when a guy is on a date, or if a guy does make a move, but the woman doesn't respond the way that he would like her to, or the way that he's anticipating. So I had a story with a client, Nathan, who had met this girl, made out, he was really into her, and then he noticed that she just started acting weird. She became a little withdrawn. He thought that maybe she was a bit ashamed of going in for the makeout so quickly after they met at the nightclub. I asked him, Nathan, what did you do? And he said, well, I didn't know what to do, so I just kind of backed off and I gave her her space. And I said, okay, what did you want to do? And he said, well, I wanted to ask her why she was feeling that way and to tell her that I liked her, even though we kind of moved really fast. And so I coached him. His gut instinct was right, but he had to be proactive about it. So if he did feel her withdrawing, just actually, you know, go in there, look her in the eyes, maybe even cup her face since they were having an intimate moment, and say, hey, you look like you're feeling a little bit shy, but I want to let you know that I'm really enjoying getting to know you right now. And just call out the moment and be proactive instead of just not knowing what to do, so doing nothing.
Yeah, she would have loved that, I'm sure. And as a guy, it's not necessarily your job to change her emotions if she's, you know, if it's not going the way you want it to go. But at the same time, you can lead her out of a negative state oftentimes. So if you notice you're on a date with a girl, something happens, she says something or whatever, and it starts kind of going downhill, you can either call it out and ask her what's wrong, or instead of letting her kind of negative mood bring you down, you bring her out of that negative mood. You go do something fun, you start joking around, and usually you'll see the girl just completely flip, and all of a sudden she's having a great time again.
Absolutely. And this also applies to not just taking action, but you being reactive versus your energy. So if you're coming from this really needy place of wanting the date to go well or wanting her to like you, you're going to come off really reactive. She's just going to sense that from you. But if you know, hey, you know, I'm an attractive guy that's able to connect and have chemistry with a lot of people, and maybe this interaction or this moment's not happening just like I would like it to, but that has no say on who I am or my attractive level, then you're not going to be that needy, anxious guy seeking that validation. You're just going to be, okay, this is not going like I thought it would, but that's totally fine.
Yeah, I love that. For example, let's say you go in for a kiss and she turns away, and it's been like, you know, 2 or 3 hours into the date, maybe it's even a second or third date. And what a lot of guys would do is they'd start getting really needy and start complaining, be like, what's wrong? Like, we've gone on a date, and like, why are you acting like this? Why won't you kiss me? And that energy completely will repel her. You will probably not get another date with her. Instead, if you're just cool, calm, doesn't even affect you, and you're just like, oh, that's cute. Okay, I'm gonna try again later, just so you know. Like, that energy totally turns her on.
Yeah, and that fear that stops guys from taking action is the very same fear of guys remaining to be in that reactive state. For example, we hear this all the time when a guy has a crush on a girl at the gym, or a crush on a girl where he sees her regularly, and he's so afraid of getting a negative reaction or getting rejection or making things awkward, it will prevent him from taking any action. So he'll continue going to that place week after week, either hoping that he gets a better read on her, hoping that one day he'll have more courage or confidence. But every single time that he goes in there and he has an interaction with her and he doesn't take action, he gets more into that friend zone. And it actually will make him feel much more awkward when that day comes, if it comes, because it normally doesn't come, when he does feel the confidence to go and to ask her out. And another very good example of a guy playing it safe, being in that reactive mode, not taking the lead and being proactive.
Yeah, and that's really one of the biggest things that attracts a woman, that turns a woman on, is your ability to go for what you want. I mean, just the fact that you're approaching her, as long as you do it the right way, just the fact that you're doing it already creates attraction, because she feels that bold, confident, courageous energy. And the same is true throughout the interaction, throughout the date, that she feels that you're the kind of guy that goes for what he wants. Like, she's going to become more and more attracted to.
Secret number six, assuming familiarity.
Yeah, what a lot of guys do wrong when it's either the approach or on the date is they just act like they're complete strangers. For example, on a date, the guy might, you know, see the girl and shake her hands instead of giving her a hug and just like treating her as if, you know, they're already familiar. Like when you set that context that, oh, we don't know each other, we got to stay apart from each other and just shake hands and that's it. It just sets this formal frame that the two of you are strangers. But even if you are strangers, you can still be comfortable with somebody right away. When you're comfortable with yourself, you can quickly just automatically even be comfortable around her and she'll feel that. And then she'll be comfortable with you and that just sets the right tone.
You can see this often actually with people that tend to be either extroverted or just tend to be really warm and have this vibe with them, like they can start great conversations anywhere. They have this energy to them where they act as if they've known the person for years. Go into a store and the salesperson asks you, hi, how's your day going? Most people are like, fine, thanks. But someone that takes that assumption of like, I've known you for years, how would I respond to you differently? They would say, oh my goodness, I just got stuck in 2 hours of traffic, but hey, I'm in a good mood because I got a double shot of espresso latte, blah, 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 right? I'm obviously giving a silly example, but it's this energy and their ability to just be open as if they've known each other for a long time that makes other people feel very comfortable with them.
That actually reminds me of one of my favorite ways to start an interaction where there's maybe the girl sitting and there's a seat next to her and it would just be kind of awkward to stand for whatever reason, maybe because of like the distance or something. So what I would do is just sit right beside her and just say, sorry, I'm late. Traffic was so bad. Did you get me a drink yet? And it's really just an example of just like assuming that familiarity, even though it's cheeky, it's a joke, but you're just starting off on this foot that like, hey, we've known each other for a long time. Let's just talk.
Yeah, Nathan did that in the last boot camp. Some girl was holding a rose and he went up to her and he goes, oh, he goes, I know you forgot Valentine's Day, but you didn't have to get me a rose. Just a great way to start an approach. You know, the secret tip of assuming familiarity is actually what caused me to have one of the best dates I've ever had. This is many years ago. I was matching with someone on one of the popular dating apps, and he was someone that seemed interesting, but I wasn't that excited about. So we were texting. We didn't have a formal date lined up, but wanted to see where it went. And I had gone to a friend's birthday party. This is a friend that I hadn't seen in many, many years. And I went to her birthday party and I was at a restaurant and she wasn't there. So I walked to the hostess. The host says that she's running late and she doesn't know if she's going to show up. So I go to the bar, have a drink, wait for her. Minutes go by. My friend doesn't show. I get on my app. I start texting this guy. We're texting back and forth and I'm telling him how frustrated I am. And he says, Lynn, don't move. I'm going to be there in 20 minutes. So I'm like, okay. So I wait for him to show up. I go to the bathroom. And as I go to the bathroom, powder my nose, there I see my friend, my old friend from high school, with her grandma, with her old babysitter, with her, like her entire family is there. It's like, it was a really intimate dinner that she was having and had one seat left open for me. So I start freaking out and I start texting the guy that was supposed to come and meet with me. I couldn't cancel on him. That wouldn't have been very nice of me. So I said, okay, here's the scenario and here's what you're going to do. You're going to pretend like you and I have known each other for years. You're my boyfriend. I'm the one that's sitting in all black to the side of the restaurant and no kissing, no inappropriate touching, but everything else is fine. And so he came to the restaurant. My friend didn't know because we hadn't seen each other in years, the one that was having the birthday party. He comes to the restaurant and he sees me and he goes, Lynn, darling, where have you been? The entire night was so much fun. We were just riffing off each other and just playing it off. And it was one of the best dates I ever had because of this secret little law that we're sharing with you guys, which is assuming the familiarity.
I think that's why role plays work so well, because he basically role played that he was your boyfriend.
Totally.
So it's like you're creating this context that you've known each other for such a long time. It's one of my favorite things to do too when I'm flirting with a girl, just for whatever reason, just say, oh, we're getting married now, and you know, start pretending that we're a married couple, which, you know, can lead to other things that can be super fun. Assuming familiarity really creates a strong connection super fast.
Secret number seven, be on the same level.
With every other dating coach out there, they say you could be, you know, a homeless bum on the street and still score a supermodel. But the truth is,
you do need to be at the same level, not necessarily in looks or, you know, amount of money that you both make, but energetically, you have to be on the same level. Lynn, why don't you explain what that means?
Yeah, no, exactly how you're describing it. I think, you know, a lot of gurus out there are telling you, oh, you can do anything you like and you can attract the woman of your dreams. That's not true. And we just want to be very real with our viewers and say, if you're going for someone that she's going to be in nines or tens, let's say in terms of looks, then look at your life and look at where you are in different domains, whether it be with your looks, with your ambition, with your personality, even with your confidence, with your career. I remember I dated someone a few years ago who was objectively not good looking at all, but his personality was so magnetic and he was so funny and he was just the life of the party that it made him irresistible. You just saw way past his looks. It really shows that you have to set out for greatness if you want to attract greatness. And it doesn't have to mean that it's on the same domain.
Right. It's like you attract who you are, right? Not necessarily what you want, but you attract who you are. And it's, again, it's not equal. You could be not good looking at all and still date a really attractive woman. But if she is seen as very high value, like you said, a 9 or a 10 on, you know, the fictitious value scale, you need to be a 9 or a 10 too. Doesn't have to be in looks, but it has to be in the value that you're bringing to the table.
And I know that this one is controversial, and I just want to make sure that our viewers aren't taking this the wrong way, right? We're not saying that you have to be a millionaire or a billionaire, but you do need to strive for something where you're either excelling or you are trying to excel at that. So it's like one of our students, Vic, right? Vic is a quadriplegic. He got into a really unfortunate accident in his late teens, and he's bound to a wheelchair, a tiny bit overweight, probably average looks. And most guys would say, that's it. He's doomed. He can never attract that dream woman that he wanted to. But this guy, Vic, has worked so much on his mindset. He has worked so much on being enlightened. He's worked so much on his personality. He has such a warmth, magnetic draw to him. He is so positive. There's just this light that radiates from him. He's truly a 9 or a 10 out of 10 in terms of that domain. And because of that, because he's just so magnetic in his energy, he attracts gorgeous women all the time. And he's the kind of example that people would say, oh, you know, he's not tall, he's not good looking, he's in a wheelchair, right? But because of this domain that he's mastered, he's able to attract the same.
Yeah. So again, the key is that you're a 9 or 10 in one domain of your life. And one domain that you need to be a 9 or a 10 in to attract that beautiful, high value woman is when it comes to your confidence, or even more specifically, your self-worth. And most guys see the beautiful woman as way up here and they see themselves as beneath her. And so either they don't even try, or maybe they do try, they do approach her, but then they come off needy, supplicating, try hard, etc., and they turn her off. So what you need to do is see her as equal to you, and at the same time raise your self-worth so that you see yourself as not only worthy, but a man who brings value, which is exactly what we do in our coaching and mentorship program, where we help you let go of all the shame, insecurities, roadblocks, limiting beliefs, mindsets, whatever it is that's holding you back and pushing women away, to really unleash that confident, masculine version of yourself. Because he's in there, man. We just need to bring him out. It's also why we bring in models for you to role play with, so you can feel what it feels like to turn her on within seconds. And you can feel what it's like to spark that connection and chemistry right from the get-go, and see that it's not so much about the words you say, but it's about the energy and the vibe that you create with her.
It's removing the shame, it's removing the feeling uncomfortable in your body, it's removing the overthinking and having to wait for the perfect situation or the fear of the rejection. And there's so much heaviness in there. I just see these guys coming in so confined, so restricted. And when they start working on this part of their lives, their entire life changes because they actually believe in themselves. They take risks. They're not so reactive and so afraid of what might happen. They believe in themselves.
Yeah, they truly become alive and they really become the best version of themselves. So if that sounds like something you're interested in and you want to apply for our coaching program, there's a link down below. Click that link, apply right now, and we'll see you inside our coaching program. Thanks for listening to the Attractive Man podcast. Make sure to follow me on Instagram and visit theattractiveman.com to see our bootcamp schedule, apply for a free consultation, and get access to your free training. I'll talk to you guys in the next episode.